This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I welcome you to the Heal It Show. Today, we're going to be talking to a very special guest on the personal path to well-being. I want to let you know that right now, today in America, chronic pain affects 20% in the people in the U.S. with an estimated annual cost of over $600 billion. There's an estimated 50 million Americans that suffer from pain or illness not caused by injury. These psychosociologic disorders are generated by changes in nerve circuits in the brain, including fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, migraine, chronic fatigue syndrome, long COVID, and many other painful conditions. That's interesting, isn't it? I know that a lot of you that are listening to the show have family members or friends or associates out there that are suffering in with chronic pain. And, you know, they've been treating symptoms for years. And, you know, there's a lot of progression that's been made in the medical community over the last 10 years. And people don't necessarily have to live with chronic pain anymore. But what I've told people on these shows and the Heal It Show, you know, it's a quest, right? Generally, you don't get rid of chronic pain instantly, although it's possible. But most of the time, it's a quest to be able to look at the causes, and the effect is the pain. But to get to the cause of the pain is what my show is all about. And I bring in experts that know how to get to the cause so that you can heal these things and really live a much more vibrant, productive, joyful, happy life. Maybe even a longer life, right? Wouldn't that be fun? So today we're going to be talking about how to heal pain in your body. And I'm going to give you the ways to do that. I'm not. I have a guest that's going to be able to do that today. Some ways to understand what the causes are, and then be able to take your own quest, your own journey, to get rid of this pain in your body. Why live with it, right? You don't have to. Okay, most of you don't have to. All right. I'm going to take a quick break. When I get back, I'm going to have my very special guest, Dr. David Clark. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. And Dr. David Clark, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Great to be with you, Ken. Thank you.
Well, for those of you that don't know my guest, let me introduce you to him. His name is Dr. David Clark. He's the president of the Psychophysiologic Disorders Association, PPDA. It's a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to ending chronic pain epidemic. Dr. Clark holds an MD from the University of Connecticut School of Medicine and is a board certified in internal medicine and gastroenterology. I knew I'd get it, but it was going to take me a second. Gastroenterology. His organization's mission is to advance the awareness, diagnosis, and treatment of stress-related brain-generated medical conditions. Wow. I'm so glad you're here. I think this information is information a lot of people need to hear right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much research that has been published just in the last couple of years. And that's really why we're coming out with a lot of public information to help not only the physicians out there, but also people who are suffering.
I love that. Well, you know, I talked in the monologue here in the beginning of the show about getting to the causes of chronic pain. But before I get you on that subject, I'd like to, you know, you and I talked in the green room prior to the show, and we talked about you're about 8 years into your medical career in the medical training, and then you found out about the different modalities that we're going to talk about today to heal. How did you come across that?
Well, you know, I had been doing pretty well in those first 7 years. I mean, I got an award for excellence in medical school. I got into a top university training program. I was passing my board exams with high scores. So the last thing I expected was to run into a patient whom I didn't know the first thing about how to help or to heal. And this was a woman in her late 30s who had a severe gastrointestinal problem. Her doctor hadn't been able to figure it out. Another university hadn't been able to figure it out. So they sent her to where I was at UCLA because we did some very specialized testing on the electromechanical properties of the intestine. And my department chair and I, we were confident that test was going to show what her problem was. And we were shocked and dismayed and very disappointed when that test also was normal. So it was left to me to sort of do an exit interview with her and just tell her, you know, she was going to have to live with this. But I asked her about stress one more time. And then I asked her about stress earlier, thinking maybe 2 years before when she had become ill for the first time, something had happened. And that's when she started telling me that she'd been under a severe stress as a girl between the ages of 4 and 12. She'd been sexually abused repeatedly by her father. And I had no idea what to do with that information. And I certainly was skeptical that it could have anything to do with why she was ill 25 years later. Nobody had touched her against her will in all that time. But there was a psychiatrist, Harriet Kaplan, at UCLA at that time that had an interest and expertise in this area. And I sent her off to see Harriet, you know, not thinking anything would come of it. But then I ran into Harriet in an elevator 3 months later. And just to make conversation, I said, you know, whatever became of that patient that I referred to you? And she said, well, I haven't seen her in a couple of weeks now, Dave. She's cured. She's not taking all the medications that she used to need. Her bowel function has gone completely back to normal. And that just blew me away. The idea that you could heal a serious physical condition just by talking to somebody. Nobody had ever mentioned that in my first 7 years. So I prevailed on Harriet to teach me a basic framework for how to approach patients like this, thinking, you know, I might run into one or two a year that had these same issues. Well, you know, I was wrong again. It turned out to be 5 or 6 a week once I got into practice. Every time I would do the diagnostic tests on a patient and not find an explanation, I would use the framework that Harriet taught me, and I was coming up with all kinds of stresses in people's lives that were impacting their brain, which was then causing real symptoms in their bodies. But the good news is it's very treatable and people can get better just like that first patient. So,
well, this information
later.
Yeah, this information is very timely. I mean, we have a stress epidemic in this country, and I would suggest many other countries around the world, you know, and I guess, you know, what I was reading about you in some prepping for the show is that the new research has confirmed that the pain relief psychology achieves far better outcomes for non-structural pain or illness than some of the other forms of treatment that have been used in the past.
That's right.
That's new information.
It is new information, and it's getting confirmed not just from one study, but there are studies in Halifax, in Nova Scotia, from Harvard, from Detroit, from Boulder, Colorado, from Los Angeles, and they're all confirming just remarkable improvements in people's chronic pain. These are people that don't have a structural explanation. There's not an organ disease. There's not an injury going on. These are people with no clear-cut explanation for their symptoms, or if there is a question about that and they get treatment for it, they're not responding the way the doctor expects them to. And in those cases, it's the brain that is generating these symptoms, just in the way it does in somebody with phantom limb pain. Somebody who's had an amputation, say, of their arm, they can feel pain in the place where the arm used to be because it's getting generated from the brain. Absolutely real symptom. There's nothing in your head about it. It can happen to anybody. It happens to people who are mentally as strong or stronger than anybody else. But once again, the good news is if we identify the stress, we treat that and people can get better.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? It seems that subconscious mind keeps track of every little thing that's ever happened to us. And, you know, whether it's in childhood or whether it's yesterday. And what I'm hearing from you and some of the other experts is that if we don't address those issues of trauma, then there's a good chance that we're going to end up with some kind of a symptom. It's going to outpicture in some way in our body. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be simple. You know, one of my patients, he only got his problem, his physical illness, when he was driving to work. When he was driving home from work, he was fine. And on the weekends when he was not working, he was also fine. But, you know, we haven't trained our physicians how to look for that kind of cause, how to ask those kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. Because when you do, sometimes it's very simple what's going on in a person's life. That man had enormous pressures and stresses going on at his job. Mm-hmm. So naturally, he was thinking about it on the drive into work, mm-hmm. and it was stressing him out, and it was making him physically ill. The exact same drive in the reverse direction, not a problem. But you're right about the childhood stressors. That was an issue in the majority of my patients. Something happened to the patient when they were a child that they would never want to have happen to a child of their own. And that can have long-term impacts on people, sometimes for decades. One of my patients was 87 years old and was physically ill over something that happened when she was age 8. So it can last for a long time. But even that patient was successfully treated.
So are medical doctors becoming psychologists? Is that what is that part of this? Is that just another piece? What's going on in the industry itself? Where does the trend go here?
Yeah, the great news is that the doctors don't have to change professions. They just have to know how to ask a few straightforward questions. We've got a self-assessment quiz on the website, endchronicpain.org. It's only 12 questions. It takes people less than 3 minutes to fill out to get really good insight into whether they might have this condition. And the medical profession can use that same questionnaire as a screening tool. And if they find that those issues are going on, once again, they don't have to become psychologists. They can be working with a behavioral health consultant, as many primary care offices are doing. The behavioral health consultants can learn these techniques. We've got courses on our website that can teach people. There are textbooks now for this. It's not difficult to add this on to what you're already doing if you're a mental health professional.
That's outstanding. Okay. Well, listen, when I come back, I'd like to know some of those questions that are being asked of the patients. Like, and I love the fact that we can go to what you just said, endchronicpain.org. I want to say that again, endchronicpain.org, to take the self-assessment. But I'd like to find out a little bit more about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm glad you joined us today. We're talking about how to heal chronic pain. We're with Dr. David Clark. Dr. Clark, I want to ask you, before I get to that question about what are the questions that may be in the assessment, what are some of the stress-related brain-generated symptoms that people can understand?
Yeah, you know, we could almost go the entire rest of the interview just listing them all. They literally go from head to toe. Migraines, irritable bowel, fibromyalgia, pain in the low back, pain in the cervical spine, in the neck, brain fog, certain portion of patients with long COVID, certain portion of patients with chronic fatigue syndrome, pain pretty much anywhere, visual disturbances, swallowing problems, functional neurologic disorders, numbness and tingling in the extremities, joint pains. I'm sure I'm leaving some things out here.
Well, I get it. Yeah, I get it. So, you know, our bodies really are friends. Our bodies letting us know, hey, there's something going on. The pain is a warning sign that we need to look at, is what I'm hearing. But how does these, you know, he named a lot of diseases that a person would just go to the doctor and they give them some type of medication and they send them home and you know, maybe put them on a health, different diet or something like that. How does the work that you're doing differ from traditional pain treatment?
Well, so much of traditional pain treatment focuses on the place in the body where the symptom is located. And, you know, you're looking under the wrong tree when you're doing that, because the symptoms are being generated by the brain. And again, they're 100% real. They can be every bit as severe as symptoms caused from anything else. I've had numerous patients in the hospital. One of my patients was a 17-year-old. I was asked to see him on his 70th day in the hospital, and he was getting morphine around the clock. I mean, it was incredibly severe, but it was all generated by the brain. So what we're asking healthcare professionals to do is to be aware of that, to be aware that stress can do this, and to investigate for sources of stress. What's going on in your life at the moment? What was going on when you were a kid? Did you have experiences that you would never want for a child of your own? Are there triggers going on in your environment today? Are there people, events, or situations in your life right now that are in some way linked to the adversities of the past and are getting increased in their severity because of that? So if physicians could just ask a few of those questions, the same thing would happen to them that happened to me. You find out incredible things about people's lives that you never would have guessed.
Why aren't physicians doing that? Is this just new information? I guess it's been around for some for a while. Why is the healthcare industry failing to effectively serve their patients with the treatments that we're talking about here?
Well, it's a different way of thinking. You know, you're not looking at organs and structures and physiology like we were all trained to do in medical school. You're starting to talk about stress and psychology, which is something new for a lot of healthcare professionals, physicians especially. And then on the other side, the mental health professionals, they are working with mental health conditions, but when a patient just starts to talk about they've got pain, they've got bowel problems, they've got migraines, that's outside of their training. So they feel uncomfortable with that. And the result of this is that in the United States alone, we've got 50 million people that fall into the largest blind spot in the healthcare system. They don't have a mental health condition. They do have a physical condition, but it's not caused by an organ disease or a structural problem. So they're falling right in the middle. And what my organization is advocating is that the medical people just ask a few questions about stress and mental health and issues past and present. And the mental health people become comfortable with helping patients who've got physical symptoms. And if there can just be a little meeting of the minds there, we can make a huge difference.
That makes sense. You know, I think part of the issue has been this stigma around, quote, mental health, because really it's about mental wellness. And I think that when people can shift that they want to, mental wellness encompasses everything we're talking about, right? It's not that you're sick mentally, okay? It's that maybe you haven't addressed an issue that's creating another issue in your body. And, you know, it's really mind-body medicine is what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And mind-body or stress-based is a lot easier to say than the 10-syllable word that we came up with to talk to doctors about it. But the right. Something else that a lot of people don't recognize is that if you had adverse childhood experiences, definitely we can't go back and change those as much as we would like to, but we absolutely can change the long-term consequences. There are personality traits that are stressful, like perfectionism, like not being able to take time for your own joy, like being excessively focused on the needs of other people in your life. There are repressed emotions that people may not even be aware of. And there can be triggers, people, situations, or events in your life that are triggering for you, that increase the stress in your life because they are linked to adversity from the past. And all of those can be addressed. And when they are, physical symptoms, pain, and otherwise go down.
So let's say somebody had abuse as a child. Okay, for instance, and let's say we identify that, you know, right now there's certain things showing up in the body, you know, and there's no physical reason for it to be showing up, so it's that gray area, and people are like, well, okay, what do we do now? How do you work with a client like that? What happens to them? Do they go in? Do you look at the take the stress test and then go back and look at the psychology at a younger year? Do they do forgiveness work? Do they go back and choose a different thought? What happens there? How does that work?
Yeah, there's all of that involved. It really starts with helping people to recognize that their pain or illness is linked to stress in some way. And okay. Some of the questions on that self-assessment quiz are about symptoms that move from place to place, or having multiple symptoms in your body at the same time, or symptoms that change over time. And when people start to see that those are not really characteristics of an organ disease or structural damage, then they're willing to start looking at the stresses. And if it comes from abuse as a kid, I like to first have them recognize the real magnitude of it, because many people, when they look back, they're not thinking that it was all that bad. I've had so many patients who will tell me about pretty significant stresses they had as a kid. And in the same breath, they'll be saying, well, it wasn't that bad. I think I'm over it now. Other people have been through worse. And that's when I ask them, well, okay, imagine you are a butterfly on the wall of your childhood home, and you are watching your own child cope with everything you had to deal with in that home environment. What's that going to be like for you to watch that? You can't do anything because you're a butterfly on the wall. So you just have to watch your kid try to cope with all the same stuff. And a lot of people, that's the first time they truly recognize just how difficult things were. And we can start from there and start working to help people overcome the consequences.
Wow. Okay. And I let me ask you about, the thing I was going to ask, accident prone. I think people that are accident prone is, you know, they're cutting themselves, you know, in the kitchen with their knives, or they're falling over, they're tripping, they're doing this and that. Can that also be related to these childhood stressors?
Yeah, I have seen that. I'm not in a huge number of patients, but I have definitely seen that occur in people. The range of different outcomes from childhood stress is quite large. People can be, as a coping strategy, they can be indulging in all kinds of behaviors, things like drug abuse, eating disorders, gambling, excessive exercise, workaholism, alcoholism. All of those things are forms of coping with the long-term impact of childhood stress. And being accident prone is another one of those consequences, at least for some people.
That's interesting. All right. So how long does treatment take? You know what? Before you answer that, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm talking with Dr. David Clark, and I'm so enjoying this show. This is such a changer for so many people that you're out there giving this information. And I believe it gives people hope that have chronic illness, that disease, I guess I'll call it, chronic disease that they haven't been able to identify and they don't know why they have it, right?
Yeah, they either don't know why they have it or they've been told that something is wrong and the treatment is applied to that, whatever it is, and they're not responding, not improving the way the doctor expects. And what we advocate is just to include these ideas in your evaluation. If you really want to do a complete evaluation of a patient, especially one who's not getting better with traditional medical treatment, include the assessment of these stresses, past and present, and work on any of those that you come up with or find and see if the person gets better. Because at least in my experience, 7,000 people got better.
Wow. So, you know, I was trying to think of the doctor out of New York that was doing the work. He was a heart surgeon, but he was tuning in that a lot of times what he found with people with broken hearts that ended up in, you know, heart problems, right? Things like that. So we talk in things, situations like that?
It just shocked me early in my career how powerful the brain was. One of my patients had a completely paralyzed stomach. I mean, it was not emptying at all, and it was 100% from stress. Another patient, almost a completely paralyzed bowel. And just, you know, from the brain, because, and we know it was stress because when we identified the problem, treated the stress, all of these problems with the GI tract got better. And another one of my patients, 55 years of pain. And when we identified the fact that it was linked to physical abuse he'd suffered as a boy, and we got him into a support group, within a month, the pain was gone. It was, you know, after 55 years. And just imagine the expense, volume 3 of his paper chart. I saw him back in the 90s before we had electronic records. Volume 3 of his paper chart was 3 inches thick. And I can only imagine the healthcare dollars that were represented by that record, but successfully treated when you get the correct diagnosis.
Yeah. You know what I love about what we're saying here today? This is a plus. It's not a takeaway. You know, you're an MD. You've got, you know, you have another way to be able to heal, help people heal. And it's not you take away this to do this. This is a plus. You add this to your practice. You add in these specific assessments or questions, and this will help doctors, I believe.
The doctors love it. I mean, there's a group in a medium-sized city on the East Coast. They invited me to come and teach them. It was only 3 of them and their psychologist that they collaborated with, and it absolutely transformed their practice. One of the doctors took me aside at a conference and said that these ideas had put the joy back into her work. And the 3 of them and the psychologist were so enthusiastic about this, they told me by a couple years later they had trained 70 other doctors in their community how to do this. It absolutely transforms your work as a physician. You're taking 1/3 to 40% of your patients who used to frustrate you, who used to make you want to beat your head against the wall because you didn't know what to do for them, all of a sudden they're very rewarding to work with. It's a night and day difference.
I can see how the doctors would really be thankful for this system. Yeah, I work with several doctors and over the years, and I think of one right now is just frustrated with the system because it's, In his mind, it's very limited of what how he can treat, and this would definitely, I think, open it up for a lot of doctors feel a lot more fulfilled in being able to deal with some of the difficult cases. So I commend you on that. if we have some of our doctors listening today, what would you recommend? Where could they find out a little bit more about this and get the training around this?
Yeah, we've got a 2-part training course on the endchronicpain.org website. I've created the first part a few years ago, and the second part was just came out in January. We've got two textbooks, one that covers this area generally and is written from the perspective of teaching healthcare professionals, but it is jargon free. So mental health professionals can read the medical material and the physicians can read the mental health material. And the public, non-professionals interested in the science, can read this just as well. So that's a good resource. My first book, They Can't Find Anything Wrong, is great for the public and has 4 dozen stories in it that can educate healthcare professionals as well. We've got a conference coming up, our first live conference in several years, Boulder, Colorado, September 26th through the 28th of 2024. We're going to have over a dozen highly experienced presenters talking about this condition from every angle you can imagine. So
that's
lots
great.
Of
I'm
ways
putting,
to learn
on the
this.
Screen and for my listening audience, the book you can get on Amazon right now is They Can't Find Anything Wrong by Dr. David Clark. And I encourage you to go check that out because that'll get you on the road to what we're talking about. With the conference that's coming up in September, is this just for medical doctors, practitioners, nurse practitioners, psychologists, psychiatrists? Who could come?
Yeah, we've got something for everybody because this is one of those topics that crosses boundaries. You know, we've had an artificial boundary in the healthcare system between the body and the mind, and this conference, we are bridging that gap. As one of my colleagues likes to say, anybody who's got a neck has a connection between their brain and their body. And we're trying to bridge that gap and teach people how to assess this. And people are going to, even somebody who's brand new to this is going to come away from that conference with their future patient's practice completely transformed.
I love it. By the way, where do they register for the conference?
The registration actually is going to open next week. If they go to endchronicpain.org, they're going to be able to find a registration page. And my operations manager promises me it's launching early next week.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll hold off on our show then, launching this show for a couple of weeks. So by the time you listen to the show, it'll be right there on endchronic. What is it?
Endchronicpain.org, middle of May 2024, we're going to launch the registration page, and the conference itself is at the end of September.
That's great. All right. So what's your kind of your message to the doctors and practitioners that are listening to this right now? What would you say to them as you have the microphone here?
If you learn how to ask a few simple questions of your patients, you will find out amazing things about their lives that directly impact the symptoms that they come into your office with. And you'll be able to help them in ways that you never thought possible. You know, the kinds of patients that just make you want to run out of the room because they sound so impossible from a traditional biomedical approach suddenly can be turned into people that get better. Now, it's a challenge because in today's world with, you know, 10, 15, 20 minute long visits, it's not easy to gather the information that you need, but there's no law that says you have to gather it in one visit. You can gather this information about your patient's stresses over time, and you'll make a huge difference in their outcomes. One of my patients was hospitalized at a major university 60 times in 15 years, and she was cured with a single conversation. She was in the hospital, so I had a little more time to talk to her. And in about 45 minutes, we uncovered the stress that was causing her condition, talked to her about it, brought it into conscious awareness. She never had another episode. And prior to that, 60 hospital stays, a dozen specialists, including a psychiatrist, and no diagnosis. So you can have a huge impact on people in a relatively short space of time.
I love that. Well, Dr. David, you are the president of the Psychophysiologic Disorders Association. I'm curious, how did that come up about?
We had a conference in Ann Arbor, Michigan in 2009. It was the first time most of us had been brought together in the same room with other people who were practicing in the same way. There were about 50 of us. And afterwards, we just concluded that we needed to keep going with each other. We needed to unite our efforts and not just be scattered over the entire United States in isolation, just practicing one-on-one with patients. We needed to do something in a more organized way to teach our colleagues what we had learned. It was a remarkably diverse group, every specialty you can think of, including mental health. And we had all arrived at the same conclusions about how to help people with this condition. So we launched a nonprofit, and we've been growing ever since. We fundraised. We've now got three employees. We're on social media. We're giving presentations like this one all the time. I'm invited to speak at medical conferences all across North America and Europe. And gradually the word is getting out, but we still have a long way to go.
That's great. Well, who is the ideal person that would join that organization? Are they MDs? Are they psychologists, psychiatrists? What who joins that?
Everybody who's involved in healthcare, who's actually talking to patients, will find that these issues have an impact on the people that they take care of. And in the studies that have been done, it's somewhere between a third and 40% of the people that come through your door as a healthcare professional that have these issues. So, you know, mental health professionals, lots of their clients have physical symptoms. And if you learn how to interpret what those physical symptoms are trying to tell you, it just expands your effectiveness as a mental health professional. And of course, with the doctors, if you've got somebody with unexplained belly pain or fibromyalgia that's not improving or low back pain that isn't responding to the usual treatments, explore this area so that you are giving your patients a complete evaluation, and you'll be amazed at what you find. The stories that patients tell you, you would never guess the stress levels that they are coping with until you ask.
So I take it there's some randomized tests going on as to traditional treatment versus this new treatment in some studies out there. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mentioned, you know, they've been done all across the country and all across North America. In fact, the one I like to share is the Boulder Back Pain Study, 150 patients with chronic back pain for an average of 10 years, pain levels of 4 out of 10 for those 10 years. And they come in and they get pain relief psychology, the kinds of ideas that I've been sharing with you today. And their pain scores dropped from 4 to 1 in a month. They just got 2 sessions a week for 4 weeks. And for, you know, 10 years of pain at 4 out of 10 drops to 1 on average. And they had 2 control groups and very little happened with the 2 control groups. It was the biggest separation of experimental group from control group that has ever been seen in a pain study using a psychological approach.
That's interesting. You know, I know Lyme disease is such a big, you know, a lot of people got this Lyme disease. And a lot of people I've experienced that have it don't seem to get better very quickly. And I'm just wondering now how much that's associated with what we're talking about here or any other disease.
Yeah, the evidence for chronic Lyme and for things like multiple chemical sensitivity and electromagnetic sensitivity and a whole lot of other labels that have been put on patients, you know, there's such a strong tendency in the medical community to put some kind of organ disease label on patients that they have no other explanation for. But in fact, it's a psychophysiologic issue that is going on with almost all of them. And the reason that they're not getting better is that the actual cause of the problem hasn't been uncovered. So again, we come back to the idea that if you want to do a complete assessment of your patient, please assess them for sources of stress, past and present.
Okay, Ben, you know, I never asked you the question about the questions. Like, you know, what are some, I know you've given a couple throughout here, but what are some of the specific questions a healthcare provider could ask their patients?
You know, just very simply, you know, are you under any stress in your life at the moment? And if you have a good idea as a clinician in your head of the beginning, when the patient's symptoms began and what their pattern has been over time, and then you start talking to them about their stresses, you may find out that there's a strong link chronologically between when and where the symptoms began and when and where they had stresses in their life. A colleague of mine, actually from down your way in Arizona, told me a story about a patient who'd been to, you know, probably half a dozen doctors over 6 or 8 months with no explanation. And then, so he asked her, have you been through any stressful events, especially right before your symptoms began? Well, it turned out she had been a hostage during a store robbery. She had a gun pointed at her neck for half an hour during that episode. And this took place right before the onset of her symptoms. It's a classic post-traumatic stress with an impact on the body. But none of the other doctors had been taught how to look for that kind of problem.
Wow. I love this. You know, I am such a supporter of you and getting this message in the world. So, you know, if you'd like to come back sometime and we'll do this on one of my other shows, love to do that too. So this is really profound information. I think a lot of people will benefit from it. Where do you go from here with your work? What is your vision of this work and where is this work going to go? You know, what's the big vision here?
The big vision is that I want every human being to be aware that your brain can cause pain or illness in the body that is 100% real. Because that's the first domino. Once people understand that this is possible, it leads to the next domino, which is, well, why is the brain doing that? Which leads to the idea of stresses in your life, past and present, which leads to the idea that those stresses can be treated. Now, some people get better in an hour. Most people take longer. Some people need years of psychotherapy. There's quite a spectrum there. But this would be such a massive shift from patients not getting any real treatment for this condition at all. You know, this is a group of people that are 80% larger than the diabetic population, that are not getting anywhere close to the treatment they deserve. The vision is to change that completely. Yeah.
Well, my hat's off to you. Dr. David Clark, thank you so much for being on the show today. All my audience, go to endchronicpain.org right now. Take that assessment. See where you are. Pass it on to people that you know and love. Thank you, David.
Been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And I want to thank all of you for listening today. This has been another profound show. Please pass this on to your friends, your family, and those that you love. Be of service to them so that we together can collectively upshift our consciousness, heal the chronic issues, and change our lives for the better. Take care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.